What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Another edition of Meet Me at Mutual, the first with actual games to talk about, spring training variety though they may be. I'm your host, Daniel Shopdahl, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter, and always with me is Alan Medlock from the Redbird Daily, a Medlock one on Twitter. We've had a week plus now where pitchers and catchers reported a week ago, Wednesday, I think hitters were supposed to report Sunday. And then we've had three games this weekend. It's kind of a compressed beginning of spring because of the earlier start to the season this year, starting, you know, the last Thursday in March instead of waiting until the first Monday in April. But, Alan, I don't know. I know I listened to some games. I've watched a few innings here and there, but it's just kind of nice, not even when the Cardinals, but other games too, just nice to see baseball back on the screen, even if it's not meaning anything yet.
Oh, absolutely. I love this time of year, and it does feel a little bit early, kind of like a World Baseball Classic season, mm-hmm. You know, whenever, because even the lineups, I was kind of glad to see Fowler and Pham in the lineup today just to kind of look more like that opening day lineup may look like. It was nice to see that. But you can tell they're easing into it, but they'll probably have to hit high gear here at the end of this week since they are within a month of playing, with it being the 29th. But, yeah, you're right. It was. I know this sounds corny, but we've had terrible weather here mm-hmm. for the past week. You know, it's been low 30s and rain for like 7 to 8 straight days. I was just glad to see some green grass, you know, in the first pictures. I said this was so awesome. And then luckily that, but all the games have pretty much been broadcast in the area so far. And it is it's definitely good to have these guys back and to just the sights and sounds make it worth it.
Absolutely. You know, and part of me does get frustrated in the spring because, 95% of the games, if not 100% of the games, are played in the afternoon, which during the week doesn't work real well for some of us. And it seems like the weekend, you don't necessarily catch the games either for whatever reason. I didn't this weekend at least, but, you're right. It was pretty, we had all the rain as well, just a little bit warmer temperatures. It was not a great week to be thinking about spring to see that green, the grass and the sunshine and all that was nice. Although after all that rain that we've had, we'll probably see some of that grass pretty soon over here too.
Yeah.
Get any sun. That's not something I would look forward to. But that's another story. Let's talk a little bit about these games, but let's first, listen, folks. It's the first three games of spring training, and I know some results were good, some results were not so good. If you're going to start jumping off cliffs after the first outing of a pitcher or the first few at-bats of a just go ahead and do it now, because the rest of the season is going to be miserable, for you and for us listening to you. This is spring. This is kid. People haven't pitched. They haven't been on the mound facing batters since the end of September. I'm going to say the results are not necessarily what we wanted to see so far just yet. But it's very, very, very difficult to draw any conclusions whatsoever, I think, out of the first three games, good or bad. I mean, there's some good things, and you think, mm-hmm. wow, that's great, but it's the first three games, and they're facing, maybe a pitcher that's not doing well, or batters that don't know what they're doing yet. So it's really, really impossible to draw any kind of conclusion from the last three games. We could just talk about what we saw and what was interesting.
And just a footnote in that as well. I understand that even in the worst case scenario, it's been probably 2.5 years of some pretty bad baseball or underachieving baseball, as Cardinals fans know. So I get it that it's you want to come out of the gate strong. But I will say, if you want to go back about 10 years and see how much a winning spring training does for a winning season, go ahead and research that, because it's not that good. So I understand that, and Daniel's right, the results aren't that good and haven't looked good, but there have been some highs and definitely some lows. Well, let's see a little more patience going forward on this. It's bad when I saw the performance to then I was nervous to turn my computer on. You know, I just knew this was going to be not good, and that's kind of been the situation. And you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir, and everybody's in the same boat. It's just knee jerk reaction, but yeah, let's see a little more patience. It's not even the first week of the season. You know, like La Russa said, I mean, it's the first 2 days, 3 games of the spring.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you said you don't have to go very fast. You go back to last year. The Cardinals were 20-9, I think, last spring, and off to a, you know, just an incredible start. And we thought, you know, and then they went, you know, I don't know, it was 20-something, but then it was, they went 3-9 to start the year, and you're like, it all, you know, kind of washed away. It's, you know, just because you have a bad spring training doesn't mean you're going to have a good year, and vice versa. And it really means nothing. I think I've always felt like you get to that last week of the season. I mean, if Carlos Martinez is throwing pitches that the catcher doesn't know where they're going in his last start in spring, then yeah, maybe you start getting a little concerned. But when you see him do that on Saturday with Carson Kelly behind the plate, it's not what you want to see. You want to see you'd like to see him come out and just be, you know, a super dominant person, but you can't really get too worked up about it because these things happen. I mean, and it's just, you know, an inning and a third, he threw 40-something pitches. And I know that, you know, Mikolas was again a struggle today, but I mean, again, nobody's pitched well yet, I guess. Flaherty pitched pretty well when he started. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll start with Friday's game. Flaherty threw, if I remember right, without pulling it up, 2 scoreless innings. You know, I guess if nothing else, I mean, it's a good start for the young guy. Again, you can't draw it, you can't say anything definitive, but it puts him a leg up if there is any sort of competition for a spot on this rotation. I don't think there is, but You want to be as positive as possible when you're in his situation.
Oh yeah, and that's that for that opening day start. Like before, I had known it was last week who it was going to be. I predicted it was going to be Flaherty, just for the reason they like to toy with that. The guy that's really trying, the guy that has the most, I don't know how to say it, the guy that's actually trying out, actually gets that first game a lot of times. You know, I can't remember, was it Marco last year?
Might have been.
It probably wasn't Marco last year
because he was coming off the Tommy John.
Yeah, I'm getting my years crossed
it
up.
It might have been Gomber last year. I don't know.
You know what? I can't remember. But
I can't remember what I did yesterday, much less a spring.
Exactly. Well, I was just trying to think of some of the ones. I know that Gonzalez had that before. Mm-hmm. I know that Rosenthal had it before. I know Carlos has had that opening spring start before. And they always give it to those guys that have, I don't want to say the most to lose, but they have to get that shot out of the way early. And most of the time, they haven't worked out. If you remember, Rosenthal really struggled in his first start of the spring, and that was when they were still toying with the idea that he may be a starter down the road. Well, he really struggled, and I don't think he ever started another game after that in any spring. So I thought he had a lot to lose and looked great. I actually thought the pitching looked really good outside of Schaefer on Friday, and that was one that I, not to play, you know, talk out of both sides of my mouth saying that, well, you know, you take the good with the bad at this point. But I thought they made a good impression in a spot that they needed it.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that, I mean, you can't project, but you can make, like you said, you can make an impression. And they've got to build on that. I mean, they're not going to make a team, or they're not going to position this stuff by by one good outing, they've got to go out and continue to do it. But it's better to have people thinking favorably of you than anything else. Jordan Schaefer is, and I kind of got out of this on Twitter a little bit, and it's a situation that I haven't fully understood even last year when he was on the you know, brought to spring training, and of course then he wound up having Tommy John. And Jordan Schaefer, in my mind, doesn't pitch well enough to beat out any of the pitchers we have, and doesn't hit well enough to beat out any of the hitters that they have. And the Cardinals seem the only fascination they have with him is the fact that he can do both. But and they like that flexibility, and they like that whatever. But it just feels like even if Schaefer made the team, you know, he pitched like once or twice a year, you know, and he's basically going to be a hitter. I just feel like it's more of a gimmick, and I don't get why the Cardinals really are considering this, or they seem to have been over the last couple of years. I don't see him being good enough at any facet of the game. I mean, if you can do two things, you know, be mediocre at both of them, I don't know why you would put him on the roster.
Yeah, so I was laughing. I had a feeling you said he was never actually good at that. I was like, well, he's never really that good of a hitter either. So I really don't know what angle they're going to try here. It is an interesting look at it as well, because, you know, it was all the novelty. I was like, oh, I'd kind of like to see this. And I was like, you know what? If this works, A, there's going to be an outfielder that deserves to make the team that didn't, and B, there's going to be an arm that deserves to make the team that didn't. And, you know, I don't know if that's worth the risk.
Yeah, it feels like they want us to hit the Ankiel magic in the bottle type thing again. And obviously Rick never did both at the same time. But he, you know, he was obviously a great pitcher, then came back as a hitter that was very effective. I get flexibility, and we've argued whether Mike Matheny should have a flexible roster or not. That's a totally different story, but it just doesn't feel like, you know, what time would you ever want to see Jordan Schaefer come into a ball game? I mean, hitter or pitcher, when would you ever want to see him come into a ball game? And if you can't answer a situation that would work, then why do you do it just because, hey, he can do both? Whoopee-doo. You know, I mean, if he was a better hitter and, you know, he could pitch, I could get it. If he was a very good pitcher that could hit some, I mean, I guess the Angels are doing this with Ohtani, but there's still the debate on how he's going to do it, but he's going to play every day, you know, as a DH, and then he's going to pitch on his, you know, fifth or sixth day in the rotation. So it's not quite the same thing, but I guess we'll have to wait and see how they do it. But I just don't think Jordan Schaefer is worth that kind of commitment.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there will be several situations now where everyone's looking for that guy that finally mm-hmm. does it. I don't know. I'm not a believer that anyone will. You know, that's why I thought the fascination with Ohtani was so overblown. Now, he may prove me wrong. You know, you never know. But it still seems novelty to me, and it still seems like you're trying to reinvent the wheel a little too much, which we see a lot of in the game right now, which, I don't know. It's it leads us into a deeper conversation on that whole situation. But I agree with you. I mean, it seems like it's going to take away innings and take away at-bats from some guys that are probably trying to earn it.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, Jordan Schaefer's not going to make this team. You know, maybe he makes Memphis. But it kind of boils down, and we'll do this a little bit, we'll kind of transition here, because Luke Voit, who went 2-for-2 in this game, is doing a little outfield work and things like that. But, you know, Schaefer, it feels like even if he wanted to work on being an outfielder or being, you know, he can't do that at Memphis. He can't do that at Springfield because those rosters are full. And we had this discussion. It goes back with Luke Voit trying to learn how to play outfield, which I have no problem with. I mean, Voit's got a little bit of chance, and he's had a little bit of experience, and I don't think they're going to go a whole lot of taking at-bats from people. I think it's more of a backfields type of thing, learning. We'll mm-hmm. see. I do think it's kind of weird. I was listening to the broadcast yesterday, where they're talking about not only Voit, but Breivik Valera trying to learn to play outfield. And I'm like, where are we going to, I mean, outfield is the place that we have 842 people. Why are we trying to, I mean, and I get, especially like Voit, because I think Voit wants to it, not only he wants to make the team, but it makes him more valuable in a trade piece, because Voit's got a very difficult road here, no matter what he does.
Sure.
Valera, you know, again, neither one of these guys are going on the outfield, but then the way Mike Matheny manages extra inning games, maybe it's a good thing. But it just seems it's like very weird that they're adding this, or trying to add this level of, or different position to these guys when there's so many outfielders out there. Now, I think Voit's may be coming from him, trying, you know, him pushing to do this, but overall, and I don't want to go back on it because I really don't have any problem with Voit trying to improve himself, but it becomes difficult because there's only so many so many at bats in an outfield above single A that aren't taken.
Yeah, his is different to me in the fact that he just feels like he's going to have to hit his way onto the roster in one way or the other, and I've never understood. I know he's played left field in you know, the minor leagues before, and that may be some of the draw to that. I don't know, and it just may be trying to show flexibility for, like you said, other clubs. Valera, I get the strong impression that if he could play shortstop at all, he'd probably make the team.
Yeah,
because I thought it was weird how they brought it up to where we're kind of writing him off too soon. If you remember that about a month ago, we heard that. And then this morning on KMOX, Mo highlighted the fact that they're looking for a left-handed bench bat, and I know they really like his approach. So I think that they're just going to try to use that as some use him to play a little bit of everywhere, with the idea that he probably has the best chance of making the team, which surprised me because I don't know. I never felt like I always felt like he was behind Diaz a little bit coming through the system, but they seem to really like him. So I think that they're going to try to stretch out that flexibility a little bit. And I was just kind of looking into it. I was like, you know, I know they like Garcia, and Garcia brings an element of leadership to the club. And I read some things onto that, but I get the feeling that if Valera had a little more versatility in the infield, that he would probably make the club.
And it's interesting, and maybe that's the case, but I've not been, of course, I haven't watched him very much except for when he played in the major leagues, and that wasn't, you know, necessarily a fully good representation of what he can do, but I just didn't feel like Valera was necessarily going to be a major league ball player. I thought his ceiling was kind of Greg Garcia, you know? And
yeah, exactly. Garcia. Yeah.
And I feel like, and maybe Kyle has said the same thing, you know, our press direct watcher. It feels like he's got some of the similar type of thing that Valera's not a prospect. You know, he's an organizational filler that may actually come up at some point in time and be insurance. But, and you may, I'm not discounting you. You're probably right, but it is interesting that's, I think also speaks to the middle infield situation that the Cardinals are in. They don't have a lot of depth. You know, losing Diaz over to Toronto, there's not an obvious person to go there, except for Greg Garcia, and you don't really want Greg Garcia playing shortstop very often. So, you know, you may be right, and you may see him anyway, even without this. But and so maybe that's why they're doing it, so that if he does come in, that he can be this guy that can play outfield. But you know, again, you've got three outfielders that are going to start. You've got Jose Martinez, who's going to be on this team, probably playing a lot of first, but still can play outfield. And you've got, you know, probably Harrison Bader, who's going to be your legitimate fourth outfielder. I mean, there's five guys on that roster. How often are you going to need a sixth outfielder? You wouldn't think that too many games are going to need that.
Yeah, exactly. And it was funny because he had actually brought that up. Mo brought that up this morning. He said, he goes, you can look in our camp. He said, we're trying to make it really competitive in the bullpen for the bullpen pieces. He said, we're going to utilize everybody in what you break camp with and where you're going to end with. You know, he said, we've got enough young guys some of the invites and signings that they've had. They said they expect a very competitive camp out of the bullpen. He said, and the other thing where there will be hot competition is the fourth and fifth outfielders. And I thought it was funny that he worded it that way.
Yeah.
Reason being, I honestly thought that fifth outfielder was automatically going to be, well, let's just say I thought that your first man off the bench was going to be Martinez, no matter who went down. Mm-hmm. I still think that, but I did think it was funny that he worded fourth and fifth outfielders.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But if you're right, maybe he's thinking of Martinez as a first baseman. I don't know. I did think it was interesting. I listened to, got a chance to listen to Mo on Jim Hayes' podcast today. It's because I'm behind. It came out earlier this week. But and Mo said, look, you know, Carp's going to be the first baseman. Turkle's going to be the third baseman. You know, they may, Carpenter may move around a little bit to spell other people, but that's the main way this lineup's going to look. Which I thought was different than what we had heard earlier in the winter. And maybe that's because they were looking at a first baseman and they thought they needed to move Carpenter around, or maybe we just took it a different way. But that does start to make you think that maybe Jose Martinez is going to wind up with more outfield spots than we thought. Because I think there was a pretty good idea, and I know Adam Butler has talked about it, you know, the idea that Carpenter might not play a lot of first and Jose Martinez would be. He would be taking over first base a lot more often. But, you know, that listening to it that way, it sounds like Martinez is probably going to be maybe splitting time or maybe even more than splitting time with the outfield, and that's interesting.
Yeah, as we talk about it, I just think in the back of my mind that it seems like they've tried this the last 2 years, not necessarily with the Martinez type, but they try not to run anybody into the ground. I think they, I get the feeling they may try to do that, you know, 3 to 4 starts out of a week, and I know they had the added days this year. And I was actually listening to Mo on I can't remember if it was one of the 101 ESPN shows, and it was a situation to I don't know how he alluded to it, but he did point out that due to the days off, they may not have to carry that extra pitcher, but today's managers and pitching coaches really believe in having that extra pitcher. That may add a little bit to the outfield as well, and the fact that I think they're going to give guys Carpenter, Jerko, because what they want to avoid Jerko running out of gas like he has the last 2 second halves. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're going to try to keep Carpenter fresh as well. I think that you have to have kids gloves with Fowler a little bit, and you probably would with Pham, which he's going to be tough to take out of the lineup. But in all my rumblings right there, I think that there's a plan in place to keep guys fresh, be it the bullpen pieces and the bench guys, or and the starting nine with the bench guys. And some of these guys are going to get a lot of at-bats. And I think that even him highlighting that, saying it, the fourth and fifth outfield spots, I think that probably means that there's going to be a lot of activity, A, on the field, and B, the guys coming back and forth. You know, they've given a lot of clues that the highway to Memphis is really going to be burning up this year.
Yeah, and I mean, you're right in the fact that they don't necessarily need the 13 pitchers. You can make the argument they never need the 13 pitchers.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to tell, because even last year I think we said that, you know, there was that idea that, hey, they wouldn't need a fifth starter for a while, and that might, you know, no, they kept everybody on the regular rest because they'd have more rest that way or something like that. You know, I would still be surprised if they broke camp with less than 13 pitchers. Maybe they will, but maybe, you know, I would be surprised.
Yeah.
But even so, it's a temporary thing, because when Alex Reyes comes back, whenever that is, whether it's May 1st, with this little before, with this little after, whatever that is, I feel like they're going to go 13 pitchers then, because mm-hmm. they want him. You know, he's going to be a kind of weird situation where he's going to pitch, you know, a couple innings here and not be available for another couple days and stuff like that.
Well, and that's, you took the words out of my mouth. That's what I was going to say. If the 13th pitcher is Reyes, to where he's going to be the reliever that you have scheduled appearances, I'm all for that. But I don't like having the 13th guy that rots.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like they've had that the last three seasons, absolutely, and maybe even longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would completely agree with you. I'm completely in step with you on that one, where I like that idea of having those scheduled relief appearances by Reyes. And if that's the spot, then I think it'll work for him. But, you know, I just don't want it to be in a situation like we've seen that, you know, the past few years. So hopefully, okay, hopefully it all, the dice they roll, you know, works out for him.
And we'll see. Well, so you're right.
Yeah.
I think that is one of the problems of the 13 man is you're right. Guys get buried or they don't get used. And I feel like they'd be, you know, to a Lavalla or something like that this year. And you know, you got to use those guys. You got to use them in more than just a mop up situation here and there. And if you're not, then why aren't you getting another hitter? So,
and it goes back to Carlos Villanueva. Mm-hmm. You know, you sign a guy for that role and, yeah, that was really a terrible spot. That was just mop up, and I thought he was really good.
Yeah,
and just couldn't utilize him. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I hope that it works out in that situation to where, just like you and I had said, we're gonna beat a dead horse at this point. But yeah, just that spot that's just not a burnt spot, and utilize it with the Reyes.
Yeah. All right. Let me just kind of glance at this box score. See if there's anything interesting. I mean, there were some interesting things. He saw two hits out of Oscar Mercado. Patrick Wisdom started that game and went 0-3. Ozuna got a chance to play. Kind of interesting to see him finally get on the field. DH went 0-2 with the sacrifice fly. Again, overall, it was kind of interesting. But I think after this game, you sent me a message, and I kind of noticed a little bit in the next game, but you feel even this early, there seems to be a different type of base running going on, you think?
Yeah, and you know what? You were right, and we both had talked about this last year, to where you could tell that there was a directed approach at base running last season, you know, in mm-hmm. spring. I thought they looked well, and just like the very first inning last year of Fowler got on and it worked perfectly. The whole scenario did where he actually scored on that sack fly after making some things happen. What I liked, though, is there was two situations where last year I know they wouldn't have gone first to third, and they did it on both plays this year. And there was no hesitation. They hit the bag and went straight and went on. You know what I mean? There was no wait at all. And there was one that the ball had just barely squirted away from middle infielder to where it was enough to where mid-season, you're still going to try it, but you feel less confident about it. But the shortstop recovering the ball, I didn't think they were going to run. I think it's a lot like last year, but I do think it's an Oquendo influence because I think he's waving that arm pretty heavy in any of those situations. So it's one of those deals to where it's never going to be proven how important he's going to be, but it does seem like there's a different mindset of work this year than there has been in the past. And I think it really shows on the bases, and I really thought it showed on the outfield defense this week. Even today, Pham missed a ball that he came in really hard on and made a pretty good play. Almost like he didn't see it, but he really charged well and kept the ball in front of him. I don't know if we're going to see a better play than Mercado's in right field in the opener. Battling that wind, he went a long way to get a ball, and it was really impressive. I didn't realize he was that athletic. Those are the things that I've kind of looked at to where I like that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I want him to be aggressive. And Wong stealing third on that count in the first inning after hitting his double. You know, just opportunistic base running like that I think they've missed in the past 2 years, to where I think Fowler's really good at that. I think really taking that extra base and really moving when other guys that we've seen it kind of be station to station in the past few years with this team, that I think that they're really good. I think that they're going to bring the best out of Fowler, and I think that it's going to roll downhill about that after that. I really think they could be a pretty good base running team. I will say this, though. There was a play after Wong's double to where the pitcher spun and threw a pickoff throw to second, and in the back of my mind, I was like, they're going to catch him off. You know, and that was like, gosh, I've got to change that mindset. But it did happen in that very first inning. So I think they've got a long way to go, but I think they can get there. And I think that that there's an approach this offseason to improving the base running. I know the runs are minimal and they don't make that much difference, but I think you can spark an offense that way. That's kind of why that's why I'm so heavy into the Fowler needs the lead off situation, to where he may not even be as decent or as good of a leadoff man as Carpenter is, but when Carpenter gets on first, he's on first. Fowler can make things happen. Very good. And he runs like a gazelle. Very good opportunistic base runner. And I think that we're seeing some signs that that's the direction they're trying to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think even just listening to radio or TV, and it's not even, I mean, the announcers are pointing it out as well, but you can even hear it. Of course, it's part of the spring and the mics and stuff are close by, but you can hear Okendo in the third base box, you know, yelling at the runners, you know, getting their lead, telling them to, you know, what they're doing. And, you know, I'm not saying that Maloney or Shildt wasn't doing that last year, but it being that they made that change, you kind of notice it. And you know, I think that that's only going to help. The aggressiveness and the respect that Okendo has, you know, they're going to listen, and they're going to, and hopefully it's going to turn out better. Some would say, you know, also Matt Carpenter's been out with a back injury, and maybe that's part of the why we're running better. But yeah. I don't know that we can draw that conclusion just yet. But I think, you know, again, the three games, you can't do a whole lot, but it is interesting to see. You know, I know with the little bit I watched of Saturday's game, you know, there was, you know, I think it was Paul DeJong who was on second, and the ground ball hit in front of him. You know, and he did the right thing and let them throw it and then took off for third. You know, there was some, you know, we've had some stolen bases already. I think Wong stole the base. He stole third after that mm-hmm. double. I think there was a stolen base the next day. Again, like we said, you can't really draw a conclusion, but it's looking good so far. And we'll see how it continues to look during the spring, and we'll kind of see how it looks as we go into the beginning of the season and if they can carry that forward. But you know, if they can put a running game together with an improved offense with Osuna in there, you're right. I mean, there's a good chance of some really decent high-scoring games this year. And that's, you know, what they may need after watching some of this pitching stuff. No, I'm, again, not drawing conclusions. But I guess let's talk a little bit about Carlos Martinez. Martinez went Saturday, went an inning in the third. He struck out two. He walked three. Hit a guy. Gave up a run. It could have been worse. And like I said, the little bit I actually saw, I did see him pitch. And I wasn't on Twitter, so I don't know what everybody else's response to this. But he was very erratic. And that's the first time he's pitched in a long time. It's not saying that, oh my goodness, we're doomed, Carlos Martinez can't throw the ball. But, you know, he was, you know, Kelly would set up outside and it would wind up inside. They said he hit the guy. It wasn't exactly what you wanted to see out of your ace for the first time, and he goes out there. So we don't draw any conclusions from it, but it would have liked to seen him a little bit more in sync, especially with Kelly. And, you know, I think, well, let's start there because I got another point and I don't want to get too far off of it. So, I mean, just your thoughts about what we saw out of Carlos to start with.
Well, and it's even when we were talking, you know, texting back and forth after his performance last night and then looking at it today, you know, in his inning in the third, you know, he only did give up one hit and a run, which mm-hmm. that we knew that wasn't the issue. And then he did have the wherewithal to strike out two to get out of an inning, but the three walks and the hit by pitch didn't help him. It was funny. I read his quotes late last night, though, and he was really working on that four-seamer, and they're really working on elevating that fastball this offseason. I think we may see some struggles out of some starters just for that in the early going. Mm-hmm. That made me feel a little bit better. Didn't think this was I don't see this being an ongoing deal. It did just seem like definitely working, and they were direct on some things. So we'll see how it goes. I'm not that worried about the rotation at this point, even with what went on today. I mean, that's a lot of pressure coming back to pitching at home, and I'm talking about today's game. We can get to that down the line, but not overly concerned, but goes back to We've kind of had 2.5 seasons of pretty bad baseball. This is not the start we necessarily wanted to see, but it's not awful either.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you always want them to go out there and just be sharp and crisp, but it just doesn't happen necessarily first time through. I guess it could have been worse. It could have been Adam Wainwright. And then Sky would have fallen, I think, on some folks. But yeah, like I said, I would have liked to see better. And I think that this is when as I've watched that, and I've watched a few other games, and I realize already how much I'm going to hate this visits to the mound count thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid to some degree. I mean, you know, I get the idea of what they're thinking, but, you know, how often do you got to go through there and get your signs and all that stuff and settle in and... You want the pitcher to be you want the pitcher and catcher on the same page. And, I hate for them, you know, there's going to come a time where a pitcher's going to come out and say, I got beat on that pitch because we got confused because he couldn't come out and talk to me. And, you know, and I think we're going to see a lot of that, even if they don't say it in public. It's just, you know, they came out and visited Martinez, what, 3 times in the first inning. And granted, that's spring, and they probably wouldn't have necessarily in a real game like that. But, you know, that needed to be done, but that's like, you know, half your mound visits or whatever right there. What are you going to do the rest of the game? I didn't like when they came out with it, but now that I see that, and of course, you know, nobody seems to know what a mound visit counts as, and, you know, where's the track, are they going to add it to the little Fox box at the bottom so they can, you know, keep track of how many times you've got out there? I don't like it. I guess that's just the easiest
way to say.
I agree.
Don't
like it.
I don't like the putting it in within about a month of saying, not even a month, of bringing it out that that may be an option. You know what I mean? It seemed like, hey, if games don't speed up, this is some of the things we're going to look at next year. Not just we're going to implement this in spring and see how it goes. You know, that's the thing that bothered me most about it, because then it leads to the question that we were just talking about. Just like the replay and the catcher's interference and all that. No one knows now what that is, and that's years down the line. No one's going to know what a mound visit's going to be until it costs you a pitcher. And I still don't think it will be clear. I don't know. The way that it's handled, I think anybody that's listening to this, and you know me, you know, I'm about as true to the game as it gets. Mm-hmm. For better or worse, really, for my fandom a lot of times. But I understand that they're losing young viewers. I get it. And for the game to go on, it's going to take to bring that back. Slow games down. It's the me now society. Unfortunately, that's just where we are. But it just seems like it's being done poorly. It seems like there could be a grand plan that goes in instead of just thrown together at the last minute. That this feels like to me, that's exactly what it feels like.
Well, and you know, again, you know, if you're looking at the younger generation, you don't start World Series games at 8:00.
That's a great.
You could have an afternoon. Saturday afternoon World Series game, but you'll never do it because that's where the advertising is. That's where the broadcasting is. Let's boil this down. This is, you know, people. It's always follow the money, you know. And from what I was reading somewhere, that it's the idea they can charge more for early slots in ball games, but they have to charge less for the later ones because people have tuned out, and so that's why they want people to stay around. So the commercials, you know. I don't know. Part of me is like, if they would leave everything else alone about this pace of play stuff, I hate to even say this, I would almost be willing to have like the NBA does and have the little patch of advertising on the logo, mm-hmm. on the outfit. I don't want that. Let me be clear. But if it would, you know, stop these stupid things of mound visits and let you have, you know, maybe shorter commercial breaks or something of that nature. And instead of, you know, trying to mess with the game, instead of having some runner on second and extra innings or stuff like that, if you would just say, okay, a tasteful little advertising patch somewhere on there, I'd rather not see that, but I'd take that over a lot of the stuff that they're, you know, proposing right now. I just think, I mean, Tony La Russa would never be able to manage in this era, because he went to, you know, he would... he'd make three pitching changes in one inning, you know. I don't know, how does that work? I mean, you know, if you do have that, you know, is this going to put Lugies out of business? Because if a manager has to go and get a pitcher and then go back and get, you know, get the lefty out, I mean, there's at least two right there.
Yeah.
In one inning. I don't know. I think the great thing about baseball is the strategy and being able to outthink your opponent or outwork your opponent in some degrees. And this handicaps that ability because you've got to, yeah, you still have to strategize, but now you have to strategize within limitations. You have to say, well, do I want this now? Because I can't get it later. You know, I know some of that's, you know, hitting and pitching. Do you hit a guy here because you don't have him later? But I don't know. I don't think it's going to go well. I think there's going to be a lot of, like you said, a lot of confusion. And I think there's going to be a lot of times for people. I think there's going to be a lot of games, especially early on, where either those mound visits are going to get used up, and then somebody's going to have to be left out there, or somebody's not going to replace a pitcher because they're afraid of using up their mound visits. And it's going to come back to haunt some people, I think. And I'm hopeful that it does enough of that that they'll get rid of it by either midseason or the end of the year. But I don't know.
I know it. It's going to be interesting to see what direction these all go.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, like I think it was Dan and Rick Horton were saying, so far, as far as they can tell, nobody knows who's keeping track of this stuff. You know, are the umpires keeping track of it, or are they going to ask the broadcast team? Are they going to do, you know, what? I'm sure the umpires are keeping track of it somewhere, but I don't know. I mean, it feels like you said, it feels kind of last minute put into place, and some of that is, even if you do it 2 or 3 months in advance, some of that's just needing to go through the motions and figure it out, but some of that isn't. So I don't know. Okay, I don't know if there's anything else. I guess the good thing about Saturday's game is we saw a little bit of offense, and we saw a couple of those outfielders that we talked about. We saw Randy Rosarena hit a home run. We saw Jag hit a 3-run shot. The bats came alive a little bit, and a lot of the damage done in one inning, but it was still kind of good to see some of those guys that, you know, should be the first line of reserves, if you will. We'll see some of those guys, at least Garcia, I don't know about Rosarena, in St. Louis at some point this year.
Yeah, those two have been fun to watch. You know, I was hanging out with some buddies yesterday. It's high school basketball playoff season. So I went back to watch my hometown team a couple of times, and all my buddies that I went to school with are, you know, still there and huge Cardinals fans. And we were talking about that, and they were asking about, are they going to contend this year and all that. I said, yeah. And I said, Flaherty, Reyes, Gomber, Hudson, those are some of the names why the Cardinals didn't make a big move. Well, after thinking about it a little bit more and after watching Saturday's game and watching today's game, I think you can probably throw Garcia, O'Neill, and Rosarena on there. Those are some of the reasons that they didn't make as big of moves as we think, because I think that they feel these guys are pretty close. Kind of leads me to another question, and after three games, how hot and how well did those two guys have to play, either one of them or both, to get into the conversation of having one of those jobs this year on the big league roster?
To start the
year? At some point.
At some point.
I want to know is there a situation to where one of those two can knock the cover off the ball so much that they would force a Bader, who I think it's his job to lose, out of a fourth or fifth outfield spot. But would it come down to a they don't want them to come up here and sit type situation? You know what I mean? What kind of impression would they have to make to where they could not send them to Memphis?
I think Garcia, I may be wrong. Again, I look forward to Kyle correcting me on any of the stuff that I'm
absolutely
wrong. And I'm sure he'll have fun correcting us when he does. But I feel like Garcia, being the older guy, he's more likely, if anybody, and I still think Bader's probably got it, because I don't know that Bader has a lot more to do at Memphis. And Garcia, he played at Memphis last year, so he could be. I think Garcia's about the best chance of knocking Bader out of that spot. I think Rosarena, he's going to, I mean, he was at Double A last year. I can't remember if it was all year long or not. he's going to play at Memphis this year, I feel like. But he's going to need some time in Memphis. You know, if we're talking July after the, you know, around the trade deadline, and somebody, they've made a move to, you know, maybe trade Bader or trade Garcia or trade somebody like that, you know, maybe that's when you're looking at Rosarena being called up. But you're right. I mean, anybody that comes up is probably going to do a lot of sitting because, you know, you've got the three outfielders that are going to play. You kind of expect to play, assuming health, 150 games each, you know, probably. And then you've got Jose Martinez, who's going to be an option out there as well. So, you know, you're looking for a guy that's going to hit off the bench and not play. And Garcia may feel that. I mean, I don't know what his ceiling is, you know, coming out of the Cuban leagues. You know, I don't know how close he is to that ceiling. He's obviously been pretty solid. I think you're right. I think Bader's got it, but I think Garcia, with a really strong spring, might make them think. And especially if Bader struggled in the spring, and I know he got a couple of hits in maybe in that Mets game. Yeah, he went 2-for-4 in the Mets game. You know, if he struggled in the spring and Garcia really lit it up, they might start the year with those guys. I think that fifth spot may get a lot of rotation too. It may be where Bader goes down some and Garcia comes up for a bit, and then they switch them back and forth. And then, you know, when a Rosarena is ready, he gets into that mix. I don't know, but I still would be very surprised if it's not Bader on opening day at least.
Sure, and I completely agree with that. I just wondered what kind of a spring would it make it interesting?
Yeah, and on the one hand, it's what we've been saying this whole time. Don't pay attention to spring training results. You look at the process. You look at what happens.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we know that matters. I mean, you know.
Well, this is the only way they're going to truly turn heads in front of the big league staff all the time. You know, that's kind of my deal.
Well, I mean, we look at last year, you know. Tommy Pham had a terrible spring. And partly that was eye problems that we didn't know about at the time. He didn't have his contact working. And Jose Martinez had a great spring, and that's why Jose Martinez went north. So if it comes down to tiebreaker, I mean, if it's that kind of situation, if Garcia does what Pham does, or Garcia does what Martinez did last year, and Bader does what Pham did last year in spring, not in the regular season, but in spring, you know, that may be enough to change some minds. But I think it'd almost have to be that drastic.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, it'd be interesting. They're really fun to watch. And, you know, that's just to pose the question for talk purposes. But I think they're going to get a lot of run this season or in the spring.
And what do you think? I mean, do you think that there is a way for anybody to beat out Bader? And what is it going to take? Or
I think it would have to be a really high ceiling. I mean, really overachieving out of one of those two or O'Neill. And I would think Bader would probably have to fall off the map. You know, one of those situations. Because the Cardinals competitions are always loaded.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't. So a lot of times I don't feel like they're truly competitions. And you and I have talked about that a lot. So I think it would have to be pretty extreme in both ways for that to happen. But I do think that there's enough. I think we've heard enough out of both of them and Hicks to realize that they're putting themselves on the radar in a pretty substantial way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the young arms especially have seemed to have made an impression on the media, if nothing else. We saw a good outing of Jordan Hicks, and Ryan Helsley pitched pretty well against the Mets. And I don't know that – did Dakota Hudson get into today's game? Let me roll that down. No. So I don't think Dakota Hudson's pitched yet. But
De Leon took him being in today took a lot of that was the weighty the situation that they threw. They didn't, you know what I mean? How they tried to break him in at a time. Ponce de Leon was so big today.
Well, I mean, just to have him back on the mound is huge. But
I think, and there's what I mean is I don't think they necessarily. I think they scheduled it that way so he wouldn't be overshadowed for the fact that he did make it back.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, yeah, you're right. There were, when you look at the guys that pitched today, none of them are names that, well, except for Jason Mott. I guess we know his name, but it's, you know.
I really hope he makes the team, though.
I feel like that's difficult because there's there's so many guys that just don't have options.
Exactly, and even with me saying that, it'll be a situation where he's going to make the team in front of someone who I would also like to make the team. You know what I mean? One of those deals to where, you know, I'll be probably cussing it toward the end. But I don't know. I mean, I'm a fan of his, and you know, not afraid to say it.
Oh, sure. You know, I think it's a great story if he can make it back. But, you know, you and I, we went over our 25-man roster last year, and I don't think Mott wasn't signed at that time.
Yeah.
But, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of wiggle room, even in the rotation.
No, you're right.
You're going 13 men, and if they don't go 13 men, there's really not any. So, but spring is like that. I mean, things happen in spring. People get hurt in spring. I mean, it's you never know for sure. But let's go ahead and talk about today's game, since we've already kind of shifted into that box score. And obviously, the biggest focus is the debut of Miles Mikolas, and it was not a good one. Six earned runs and an inning in 2/3 is not the best way to make a first impression. Again, you know, I know Mo is very high on him. I heard him talking again on the Cat Chat podcast. They're really interested and excited about what he did in Japan, especially with his strikeouts and walks in a league that's very contact heavy. He was still able to you know, do a lot of striking out and not a lot of walks. He doesn't know the hitters yet. And granted, most of these guys, I don't know how many. I mean, he's facing the world champs, and while they don't have a full roster out there, it's still a pretty solid lineup. So you'd like to see better, but it's hard to. You can't say, oh, wow, this was a terrible idea. Why did we sign this guy? Because it's just, you know, again, did Ozuna play today? Ozuna did play today. He's 1-for-4. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a 250 hitter. Are you going to complain about that, too? I mean, we don't know on the one of these guys. You can't jump the bridge just yet.
Yeah, it is. There's just lighter fluid on everything right now.
Yeah.
It's, you know, any spark's just going to ignite it. And it's not fair to the players, and it's really rough to listen to on the social media. You know, because it didn't take any time at all. After the first inning, I was like, I'm really afraid to check this. And I was right. You know, I checked it, and there were some things. We can't tell anybody how to be a fan. But it's gotten really old. The negativity just far outweighs the positivity.
Yeah, and again, it's, we do live in the moment. We do this all year long. We do this every game. We ride this roller coaster
sure.
this season. You know, Carlos Martinez is, you know, great, and he's great. And, oh, why is he not an ace? Because he's blowing up against the, you know, Brewers or whatever, you know. And then, oh, he's great. And we do that. I mean, that's just part of social media now, and it's the immediacy impact. You can't take that step back and look at the week or 2 weeks or something. You've got to live in the moment, and that's part of the deal nowadays. We all get absorbed in that at times. But that said, I mean, you just got to see more of him. I mean, we saw an inning in 2/3, and it wasn't good. Lots of outings, you know, during the season, you might get a guy like Clayton Kershaw could have a game that he just gets beat up. I mean, how many times have we seen, you know, Adam Wainwright, even when he was an ace, get beat up? Or how many times have the Cardinals gone and beat up on a guy that didn't look like, you know, look like a Cy Young candidate until they got a hold of him? So again, I didn't get to watch him, so I don't know how his pitches looked. I don't know how anything like that happened. You know, and I would have to defer to those better than me on that kind of thing. But you know, just based on results, I can't get just terribly worked up about it just yet. I mean, if he has 3 more starts like this between now and the end of the time in Jupiter, then, you know, maybe we start getting a little concerned, because, you know, this is a guy that doesn't have a track record, and it's hard to know what we're seeing from him. But I've got to have to trust that the front office knew more about what they're doing until it shows that they didn't.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, results are secondary at this point,
right?
You know, they're all working on stuff, and he's coming back home to pitch, and it'll take a little bit. You know, that's, I'm not, and we know that I have confidence that he's going to be a very, very good starting rotation piece with this team, because I have faith in the organization. Our buddy Kyle just broke some news to us. I think you've seen it at this point, but the Blue Jays have picked up another former Cardinal in Sungwon Oh.
Oh, interesting. No, I had not seen that, but I did know that it seems like of course, we thought he would sign the deal with the Rangers, and then that didn't turn out. It seemed like maybe there was a physical issue, so it is kind of interesting that not only does he sign, but he signs with the team that that everybody else has gotten them. Yeah.
It's really funny, because we've had said this for forever, even when he was with Cleveland, that Mo and Shapiro obviously see eye to eye on a bunch of things. Right. And, you know, I think this just proves it. I mean, they've picked up a lot of former Cardinals.
Yeah. Of course, the Cardinals made two trades with them, with Senna Diaz and Grichuk both up there. They signed then Jaime Garcia, and now they have Sungwon Oh. It'll be interesting to see. See if they mm-hmm. do better with them up there than maybe they did down here. It's very interesting to see that Toronto is kind of loading up on those, and we'll see if all of those guys make the roster. But I don't know. I think that Oh is going to be somebody that's going to be very interesting to watch. Was he just a one-year wonder? Was he at all hurt? You know.
Yeah, it's hard to think that he wasn't compromised in some sort.
Yeah. Yeah, but and so can he do well? I mean, that's the American League East. That's that's a tough division to try to be and I don't know if Toronto's got a closer, or if he's. I assume he's not going to be the closer. I assume he's going to be like.
They actually have. I'm drawing a blank. He's a closer that I really wanted. You'll know who it is. I'm drawing a blank. Let me draw it up on a.
I used to be the guy that knew everybody in the league, and now all I know are Cardinals. So
yeah, Roberto Ozuna.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's good. You know, so that was a guy that I was hoping was in play for St. Louis several times last year and during the off season. So yeah, I mean, I don't know the details. I'm kind of looking it up now. Kyle just ran that across, and I've seen a couple of blurbs that he signed, but. Pending physical, so it may not happen.
And that's also true, but at least they must feel fairly good about it, especially if the Rangers did decline him because of physical issues, and they seem to be on board with whatever. They have that idea, and they're still willing to sign him. So, and maybe not. I mean, maybe the Rangers just never got close and never got that interested. I don't know for sure, but there was a rumor going around that it had some physical issues to deal with. All right. I guess I will say our friend Cards Cards kind of summed up today's outing for Michael Miles Mikolas, though, in a tweet that he says, you know you've done bad when Mike Myers is the one that comes in to put out the fire. Myers actually did pitch well for 2 1/3, no hits and 4 strikeouts, which is much better than we've ever seen Mike Myers pitch. You know, that's a guy that the Cardinals seem to continue to have hopes for. And maybe there's a reason, but it seems still, you know, after wondering what they saw in Jose Martinez for so long, obviously that was proven, you know, they were proven right there. Maybe they'll be able to prove it right on Mike Myers as well, but it's so hard to see.
Yeah, I know. It seems like everything's blown up whenever he's thrown. And, you know, Kyle had brought that up, that he's big and he throws hard, and they don't give up on those guys very easy. But I was glad to see that he put out some fires today. Yeah. You know, that's one of the takeaways, and you can see that at least the arrow's pointing a little bit up at this point. So I was kind of surprised that he was with the ball club. I didn't think that he would be protected on the 40-man, and did. But yeah, they've got to be showing some kind of faith.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They've had chances both last year and this off season to get rid of him, to find some room on the 40-man, and they've not done it. So they obviously have some ideas for him, and we'll see how that goes going forward. So that's pretty much this week. The Cardinals, you know, they have a full week of games coming up, which is
gentlemen, I have just received word. The Louisiana Purchase is complete.
Instant purchase notifications from Capital One. Technology this helpful.
I'll just close it. Never mind. Anyway, the Cardinals have a full slate of games this week, and that's the beauty of it. I mean, you're going to be seeing a lot of the same teams because that's just the way spring training works. But they get the Twins tomorrow. A split squad with the Red Sox on Tuesday, and the Orioles on Wednesday. Some teams that you don't, you know, we don't see during the year a lot. And then they get the Twins and Red Sox again before the Braves and Astros this coming weekend. All the games around noon. It's just that kind of interesting time of year, and I don't know. I think the first cuts will probably happen. What do you think? Is it like probably next Monday before they make the first cut?
I would say at the earliest. I don't think they really plan on getting a lot of that starting nine together, a lot of it at the time, until after the first. Mo had mentioned that on KMOX this morning as well. He said, well, we'll start slow here in the beginning. He goes, but after the calendar rolls to March, he said, it's here before you know it. Yeah. He said, because I guess within like 4 weeks from Friday, they're in Montreal. So he said, things will start coming together rather quickly here in about a week or so. Yeah, so that you may be right.
Forgot about that Montreal series.
Yeah, that'd be so awesome to attend.
They get to play each other, it sounds like, since they're playing the Blue Jays and
inner squad
and all these former Cardinals. Be an interesting series up there. But that's the 26th. That's 4 weeks from tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3. Yeah, 4 weeks from tomorrow.
No, tomorrow. I was thinking it's Friday. Okay, yeah, that's right.
4 weeks from tomorrow. They got those two games and an off day, and then they've got we're just a little bit under 5 weeks till the actual opener. There's two Mondays off, but that's it. And it seems like, of course, I guess spring does, there's only a couple of games off in the spring anyway, but that seems even short for them. You know, it feels like they should have another off day here and there, but they don't have one till the 12th, and then they have another one on the 19th. So you get some games, and that's good. It's fun for us to see. Now, I guess the last thing we need to talk about, we're hitting about an hour, which we wanted to stop at, but you know us, we don't do that. Matt Carpenter still hasn't played because of a stiff back. Now, I think I heard on the radio today they said that he was seemed to be significantly better, but he's still not out there. When do you get concerned about this? I mean,
I will not. The way that I look at it is they're on the road essentially till Thursday. So if he doesn't play this week, I'll probably start growing a little more concerned about that. Now, him not playing at this point, you worry about timing issues and stuff like that, which a veteran like that can find it in about a week. So I'm not that at that point yet, because they do have to find a lot of at bats for some of the guys, that be it Voit, Martinez, you know, just everybody that's battling for that infield spot, and then they get that extended look at Wisdom and Valera. So it's kind of beneficial at this point. But if we're talking about this next week or even into next Monday and he hasn't played, then I'm really going to start worrying about it, because he had that oblique injury for the last 2 years that every time he winced, we kind of thought was an issue. So yeah, the radar will start going off a little bit. The red flags will at that point if he doesn't play in about a little over 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, like you said, you point out a real good point. They're at the Twins, they're at the Red Sox, they're at the Orioles until March 1 is their next home game. And we know how veterans tend to not travel on these trips anyway, much less a guy that's having back problems. He's not going to ride the bus. So he's not going to – I don't think we'll see him in a game till Thursday at the earliest. But if we don't see him Thursday or Friday, yeah, I think there's a little bit of concern. And it probably won't. I mean, you'll probably – be fine. He'll probably be out there. But if for some reason, like we record probably next Friday night, if he hasn't played by the time we next talk, it's a serious situation. Not all serious, but it's going to start raising some questions, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, anything else?
I think we're good.
We're just right about that hour point. We'll see if we can get that fine-tuned as the spring goes along. Again, you find Alan at the Redbird Daily. You'll find me at C70 at the Bat. And hopefully we'll have some content for you this week. And until then, until the next time we talk, we'll see you later. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.